Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny, Guru, and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Hey, Dibs and Guru, I just thought of something. And it's just hit me, even though it's been going on for 6-8 months. You notice how when they introduce us, it's always former? Steinmetz, former this. Guru, former that. Dibs, former this. It's like, it makes it seem like our best days are behind us.
Well, not only that, and I can't believe you're bringing this up because I was thinking the exact same thing.
Are you serious?
I've about had it with that intro because at least...
Has-beens!
Well, at least your has-been, Steiny, is, okay, the guy was legit NBA beat reporter of some renown. And Guru gets a, hell yeah! You know, and his great sales career. And then me, my one titanic global game show failure where...
No.
Yeah, Pat, I know no. Surprise Easter wasn't the answer in the last one where, I'm going to give the wheel one final spin.
The wheel I watched that live with my daughter.
Yeah, Goose. So
I'm was two.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, Dan Dibley, Emmy Award winner, or, you know, has done three different sports, television play-by-play. And none of my plaudits. It's just, oh, remember your one titanic, by the way, global failure? Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, three guys who can't do anything except be on the radio anymore because their careers have fallen off the train.
Pretty much. There's a sales pitch.
Jeez.
But keep it locked for 4 hours of these bums.
There you go.
Exactly. Somebody's got to get on that, or there may be some hell to pay down the line. Golden State Warriors started out last night's game good, and they just got better most of the night. Let me tell you something. They put that Pelicans team out of their misery. Pelicans are no factor now when it comes to the playoffs. Warriors, one game over 500. Curry, 41. He was just, I guess, typical. Yeah, just typical Steph Curry. And Draymond was special. And now they go play the Pelicans tonight to see if they can get both and get up to the seventh or eighth spot. They're in the eighth spot right now. They want to stay there because Steve Kerr made it clear. They want two cracks at it in the playoff. The play-in game, and they're playing pretty well right now, guys.
Indeed, they are, and you know, you look at the spot that they sit, Steiny, tied in the loss column with the Grizzlies, and one ahead of the Spurs. The Pelicans really buried as far as, you know, catching the Grizzlies or Warriors go, but I think the Pelicans could still get the Spurs because San Antonio still has 8 games. Remaining on their schedule, and I believe all but one on the road. So the Spurs, they could be a team vulnerable to be caught by the Pelicans, but New Orleans would have to absolutely beat the Warriors tonight. And, you know, as we looked at earlier in the year, it seems like the majority of these back-to-backs result in splits. Warriors going to try to buck that trend tonight.
I think they're going to buck it, tell you the truth.
Ooh, careful, careful.
Yeah, no, the Pelicans... Pelicans are a classic example of a team with a lot of half-decent individual players, but that's about it. That's about it.
What if I told you this, Steiny?
Too much.
I don't want to boil your blood, and you chime in, Dibs, and let me know. What if? And I know we're a Warrior station. I'm going to get to what I thought about Steph Curry. And the one thing, I'll do that now, I'm not taking him for granted. I really am not. And I don't know how this season is going to end, when it's going to end, but what he's doing is amazing. Okay, I'll leave that there. But when I look at that Pelican team, guys, they got a bunch of young talent, Steiny, and this is where you may come at me. I'm ready for you. I just don't know what Van Gundy's doing. Like, is there a disconnect between him and these young players, or is it unfair of me to even bring that up? And I watch him. I like him on the telecast, but that team is missing something. And I said to myself, maybe it's a guy that they believe in that connects with them, or is it bigger than that, and I'm off for even going down that road? Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I just don't think they're that good. I think every player on that team – is thought of more highly than their actual game. I mean, you know, I like Brandon Ingram, but he's not a star. You know, Zion Williamson, great young player, long, long way to go. And Lonzo Ball, I mean, he was 3 for 18
They don't play with passion. They have no passion. Even Ingram, Dibs. They were like, I'm like, go get the ball. It's hemorrhaging. They still can catch San Antonio. It's a long shot, Stoddy. So I feel like they're going to show up tonight. Like, they lose tonight, then they're really done.
Yeah, that's for sure. And again, you know, San Antonio with one home game of the remaining seven, and they still have one additional game to play. So the Spurs go maybe as far as the Warriors do in determining the Pelicans' short-term and long-term fate. If the Warriors win tonight and the Spurs win that extra game that they have, well, now they're going to be sitting four back with six to play, and then you can go ahead and throw the dirt on the Pels. But if I'm in New Orleans and I'm one of the various Van Gundys, I guess Stan in this case, I'm saying to my guys, the first 65 don't matter. This is it. You beat the Warriors tonight, or we can go ahead and, well, you can't do 1-2-3 Cancun anymore. It's 1-2-3 quarantine.
Yeah, or, well, you're, yeah. 1-2-3 Florida Keys, you. Maybe. You could get down to the Keys or...
oh, there's certain states you can, I mean, you're now free to move about the country depending on how you want to roll or not roll.
You know, the game last night, to me, just look, Kyle brought this up, our producer, and it's an interesting point that, you know, in a way, Draymond may be more important to this team than Steph Curry. And the reason is, and I get what he's saying, the reason is, you know what Steph Curry's going to do. All right, he's going to go out and get 30. He's going to bring the defense toward him. He's going to create opportunities for other players. But it really is Draymond. When Draymond contributes in a way that includes scoring, then all of a sudden this team is pretty difficult to beat. And we saw it last night with Draymond's triple-double. Had a couple plays where he, I guess they call it a keeper now, where he doesn't hand the ball off and he drives
like
it to the bucket.
Yeah.
It's a way to get him an easy bucket or two early. But, you know, last night I really thought it was an indication of how important Dre can be to this team, Goo, when he plays good basketball, which I still think is most of the time.
You know what? And I got a bit testy to take the fans behind the scenes on the morning call when I heard that, you know, notion that Dre is important as Steph. But, Dibs, I step back now and I'm looking at it. Besides Russell Westbrook, do you know how hard – well, I don't, but I know how hard it is to get a triple-double? And when we see Draymond in that Magic Johnson mode, this Warrior team is different. But I guess where I'm going, my friend, on this good Tuesday morning is, how realistic is it to expect Draymond to play at that level, especially against better talent? That's scary for me, but it is a reality.
Right, but it's not a regularity, as we trade our words. We're swapping paint here on May the 4th, by the way, May 4th, 2021. I ran some numbers, Steiny. I know you like numbers, and so I ran some. Draymond Green has been in double figures this year in scoring 15 times. They're 11-4 in those games. So we speak to the relative import of at least him having a couple of keepers. Last night he hit that little mid-range, little shot put, and you know, you get to 10 points. I like their chances. He's got 5 triple-doubles on the year. They're 5-0 in those games. That's not shocking that they would do well when he goes trip-dub. 10-plus assists, they're 15-6 in those games. 10-plus rebounds, they're 10-4. So even if he doesn't get a triple-double, if he's flowing with the dimes, if he's crashing the glass, those are games that are impactful and lead more toward victory than if he gets a classic triple-single.
Yeah. Boy, those are great numbers, Dibs. Seriously. Yeah. And you know what else is great, Goo? Dibs' shirt.
Yeah.
Is that Slazenger?
Glasses.
It's Puma.
Puma? Fly. Puma.
Yeah,
what are you doing at 2:01 today, Dibs?
I think I'm playing golf. Kalipe. A little Kalipe run with Junior.
Congrats.
Yeah, I got 345 out there, so a little super
y'all been getting after it, you and Junior. I love it.
And here's your typical teenager. I texted him yesterday to confirm, no response, forwarded him the confirmation email, and we're still awaiting that response. So Yeah. Yeah.
Steiny, if my juniors don't respond to me, I'll turn this mother. I'll text them down. I'll turn this thing off.
Look at you going MC Hammer.
I give them a good 30 minutes. I get hot. I don't like that. Text pops back. I'm paying the bill.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting is I'm used to my kids not getting back to me. And quite frankly, sometimes I don't mind it.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. But good, Gibbs. Calipe's where? Is that out in the East Bay?
Yeah, that's home of Cam Inman. That's Cam Inman country. Okay. That's up there in Upper Pleasanton, past the fairgrounds, through the farm, up the hill, and it's on your right.
Gotcha. I've been to the Pleasanton Fairgrounds many a time. By the way, here's some proof, I think, that Draymond might be more important than Steph. He was the Arena of Heroes champion last night. Bottom line.
He did win that. Yeah.
Bottom line. Somebody tell me what the hell that is.
You got to Google it.
Remember, we talked about it before we got off the show. They had like a scorecard for. But anyway, congrats, Draymond. And I took some notes on, you know, I'm a big Marvel and DC comic guy. I still got comics I collected in plastic, believe it or not, from a teenager. But anyway, left a little lot to be desired. You know, I'll get into it before we get off. But congrats to Dre. I'm going to say this, and this is where I'm at with the Warriors, because I'm excited. It's all outdoors. They're going to miss Oubre. And I know they haven't officially said he's gone, Steiny. Now, why would you do that?
I'm sorry.
Why would you snicker?
Yeah, Guru, I threw out 27 one-liners, and the guy barely will crack a smile. But you say they're going to miss Oubre, and all of a sudden it's Don Blankenrickles over here. Wow. The things you find funny. I don't even know why I try anymore.
That's disrespectful, though, Steiny. Don't. They're gonna need him, man.
I never heard him laugh so hard.
I'll tell you what, Goo. How about if on the other side, I'll make a case why they don't need him.
Okay.
It's called the tease, people.
It's gonna be a. You know, I'm not saying it's an easy argument to win, but I'm detecting that the Warriors are better without a few of their players who aren't playing right now. I'll explain on the other.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Steiny, I am your father.
All right. I would just text it. Pull back the curtain. I just G-chatted Kyle and said, Kyle, I'm going to need some help when we do this Star Wars big shot thing.
What could you possibly need help with?
Because I have no idea what it is. I got no clue.
I texted you about it.
Yeah,
this
but it was
music
too long
is giving
and
me
detailed.
Chills.
It had Death Star and stuff
too
in it.
Too long and detailed.
Yeah, wow. It was. Man. You know what? Maybe I'll let you introduce it all at some point.
Fine. We'll have a great time with it. I'm looking forward to this, Dibs and Goo.
Hold on. I'm not checking out.
I'm ready.
I'm not checking out. It's just we might be better suited for one of those Star Wars geeks to do it. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, Lando Calrissian wasn't a geek, Steiny.
Who's that?
Billy Dee Williams, a character in the Star Wars trilogy. Lando.
Not in one. He wasn't in one, was he?
No, he wasn't. But he helped me, Dibs, get with the women when I was a youngster. I patterned my game after him.
Yeah, it's incredible. That's great. I was left with Eric Stoltz and Mask as a role model. So.
Rocky Dennis. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I like that movie. But that's great.
Thank you. Love it. All you need to know is that Luke Skywalker, to beat the bad guys, had to fly into a tiny space. He had one photon torpedo shot to win it, and he did.
Wow.
And you know what? The Death Star, it had seen better days subsequently, and it was a lesson of teamwork, stick-to-itiveness, and just coming through in the clutch. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about the biggest shots in the history of our league. Because ultimately, you're all clear, kid. You know, Han set the pick. Han was the Draymond Green to Luke Skywalker Steph, who had the wetter and got the game winner, the walk-off piece, so to speak. So that's... I didn't want to get too geeked out and you debate, you know, Jabba the Hutt's... you know, weight issues, you know. Nowadays, Jabba would be on 1,000-pound sisters with Jabina. So, you know, I'm not trying to get too deep, but just thinking about big shots.
I'm open to learning about stuff that doesn't mean anything. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah. But, Dibs, you did mention a word there, teamwork. Teamwork. And I'll tell you what, watching the Warriors last night, they're starting to play more cohesive, I think, than at any time in this season. And it got me to thinking about two players in particular. And one is James Wiseman, and the other is Kelly Oubre. Now, I may back off Oubre a little bit, but I think the Warriors are better when those two guys aren't playing, at least when they aren't playing with Steph Curry. The more I think about it, I think there might be less of a role for Oubre than he's had, but it's got to be coming off the bench. But here's my point. Steph Curry is one of the most unique superstars you can play with because he doesn't do the same thing game in and game out. Sometimes he has the ball a lot. Sometimes he moves without the ball a lot. Sometimes you got to wait for him. He's not like a typical, let's say, center, or he's not like Jokic. Throw it at the top of the key and work off him. And so it really takes a smart player. It takes somebody who's really paying attention to detail to play with Steph Curry and to bring out the best in Steph Curry, who then brings out the best in his teammates. And James Wiseman, through no fault of his own, happens to be 20 years old and is just not ready for the NBA game. And so when the Warriors were trying to assimilate him, they went out of their way to spoon feed him. And James Wiseman is a 20-year-old, and again, no knock at him. He's got to worry about himself and how, if he can play in this league and what he can do in this league. And Oubre's a little bit the same way. I think he's a little bit greedy. I think he does a little too much on his own. I don't think he really understands fully how to utilize Steph Curry. And I think the Warriors might be better without these two players, because when those two guys aren't on the floor, the chances are that the players who are playing for him have a much better understanding of how, not only how to play with Curry, but how to win with Curry, whether it's Looney, whether it's Juan Toscano-Anderson, obviously, you know, Draymond Green. And so I just think the Warriors are a better team when those two guys aren't a big part of what they're trying to do. And I'm talking about Oubre and Wiseman. I don't think there's any doubt they're better without Wiseman. They're 10-5 in the last 15 games that Wiseman has not played. And as far as Oubre goes, I'm with you, Goo. I mean, you don't just punt him to the side. But I'll tell you what, he's going to keep coming off the bench for me, and I'm not going to play him as much as I can. I'm not going to play him with Curry as much as in the past, and I'm certainly not going to start him anymore.
What if I told you guys, and you make great points, it's a two-way street, because Steph Curry is so clever and so great, along with Steve Kerr and Draymond, that I can make an argument that the team has failed Oubre to fit in. And maybe there's conversations, Dibs, that need to be had to reel him in or open his eyes. And maybe they've had those convos. But where I'm going is, I know for a fact, James Wiseman and the fact that he's not out there, this team is better defensively. But what scares me and bothers my soul, fellas, is when you need those two gentlemen most, which you will, when it gets real and it's about size and it's about rebounding and clearing the glass, that's when you will miss Kelly Oubre and James Wiseman for as many minutes as he would play. So I get, you know, the numbers you just went off, you know, Steiny, I can't argue that, Dibs, but you're going to miss those two players the most if you get in a series, Dibs, and that's what scares me.
You're not going to miss either a ton. James Wiseman, you're not going to miss at all. And if you look at the real plus-minus stat, which is an indicator, especially this late in the year, of just how effective a player is on both ends of the floor per 36 minutes, per 100 possessions, rather, per 36 minutes. The league leader right now is a guy by the name of Stephen Curry. He leads in overall real plus-minus. Now, he's about 100th in defense, but he's clearly first in offense. Then you look at Kelly Oubre Jr., who is a negative in about 200 spot, and James Wiseman, guys, just in real plus minus, he's a minus 2.21, ranking 413th in our league, 413th. And that, again, is per 100 possessions, so it does equate to how much time he's actually been on the floor. He's below Mannion, he's below Smiley Geach, and he's a negative one or more on offense and on defense. Because you look at a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's the best in the league defensively. Offensively, he's about a zero, but because his D is so good, his impact is profound. Wiseman's poor on both ends right now, as he should be at this level of experience. Oubre Jr. defensively is very good. Offensively, he is atrocious. And that, to me, is the biggest problem because he doesn't understand how to thrive in this style of offense.
Mm. I don't think Oubre can help you when the ball, if the ball's not in his hands. 888-957-9570. Am I crazy for thinking that the Warriors are actually better off, at least this year, and moving forward without Wiseman and really, really starting to limit Oubre's minutes? And I'd cut him down to maybe 20, 10 minutes a half, and play him with that second unit. But it's clear that he... You know, we talk about Wiggins, K-Wig, and the smooth jazz, but it's better to be that than to be ultra-aggressive when you have Steph Curry as a teammate. So I'm starting to realize that, you know, as much as we kind of mess around with Wiggins, he's got a better sense of how to play with Steph Curry simply because he doesn't get in his way as much as Oubre.
But there's going to come a point, and this is go time. There's going to come a point to where Steph is not going to – maybe he has an off night, and they're sending defender after him. You know what I mean? To where somebody else has got to step up. It's not a one-man gang. It seems like it, Dibs. And that's why I appreciate guys like Kelly Oubre that are not afraid to step up. Yeah, you may fail. You may miss the shot, but you got that mechanism of a gangster, a cat burglar, guts. And that's what this team's going to need, because if you think it's going to be Draymond, and I'm not coming down his road offensively, you know, you're going to be waiting. So they need somebody else. And if you're telling me Wiggins, we know he's hit or miss, I need Oubre out there. I really do. And I got to just add this, Dibs. He had a stretch of games to where we were coming in here clamoring for, how can they bring him back? Can you sell him on coming off the bench? That was the good Oubre. And now here we are saying they're better without him?
Are those games played with both Steph and Draymond? And I'll take a look at the Oubre dominant game log, and we'll look exactly who else was out there with him, because memory serves, and I'll double check, those were games when at least one of the two wasn't out there, because he's a guy who hasn't really fit in with the Draymond-Steph cohesion. And when you watch those two together, it's absolutely beautiful. And Kevon understands what to do. And Wiggins, we give him a hard time. Yep. Last night, he was great on both ends of the floor. And he has an understanding of, at least if you're going to be out of the way, he knows where to be out of the way, you know, to avoid a Steph cut. So even if he's going to be weak side Wig, as I like to call him, go ahead and steal that roast. You know, you know it came from 10 to 2. But
original.
But at least when he's doing that, Goo, he's not in the way. Sometimes Kelly Oubre Jr. is in the way. So that is a big distinction for me. And you're asking somebody to be someone that they can't be. Like, Wiggins can't be Batman to Steph's Superman. He's more of a Robin. And without Clay, you're one superhero away from being a real factor.
Well, I guess where I'm going, Steiny, is I don't think you're going to be able to do, and I know we got Fitz coming on today, but I don't think you're going to be able to do what I dream about, and that's upset somebody in the first round if you don't have his services. And I love JTA. You know, I love the guys that come off the bench, but Oubre against LeBron, we seen it when they went to L.A. and upset the Lakers. His length, he can score when it's going, and – you know, are we so sure that the message and the conversations we think are being had have actually taken place? Because if it's easier for me to tell a guy, hey, just scale it back offensively, you know, we'll get you your touches, as opposed to just ignoring it and letting him be out there like the rat on the table and nobody telling him to cool his jets. I think it's Steph, and then who else is their second threat? I can make an argument they don't have one.
It's Wiggins. Wiggins is
that's a problem,
right?
John Dickinson voice.
Well, let me tell you something. As much as we talk about Wiggins, Oubre's much more inconsistent than Wiggins. Much more inconsistent. I don't like, And I'm not going to really push back on Wiggins' defense, but I think I'd rather have Juan Toscano-Anderson on defense, to tell you the truth. I think he plays harder. And I also think sometimes a role player is better for a team than a guy who wants to score. So I just feel like bring Oubre off. First of all, you know, Oubre's at the point now where he's got to do what you ask him to do. Tell him to come off the bench. Tell him to play his 10, 12 minutes a half. Play like he always does. And maybe every other game he'll help you a little bit. But I do not think you can play Oubre long stretches of time with Steph Curry, because this team is only going to go as far as Steph Curry can carry them. But Steph Curry will be able to carry them further if everybody around him knows how to play with him to a degree that's really good. And Wiseman is not close. And Oubre, I just don't think gets it. I just don't think he gets it.
No, and Bazemore, I think, gets it more, not as much as Wiggins, but you can play Bazemore. Obviously, you want Kevon out there, Goo, even though he's not much of a threat. And you talk about how many threats are out there other than Wiggins and Steph.
Right.
Not many. And I actually tweeted something that I thought was quite clever.
I missed
it. You ever watch Draymond Green when he gets the ball back on offense? He doesn't go into triple threat position because he knows, and the defense knows, he's not going to shoot it. So he holds the ball down by his knee. So I might dribble.
Yeah.
It's either my little handoff or I'm going to do the keeper to the hoop. He doesn't put it in the shooting pocket. I thought that was a fascinating note in light of what you're talking about, Goo, about where are the offensive threats. If you could just play Oubre, start him in the second quarter, play him, put him in at the three-minute mark in the first quarter. You play 3 minutes there. Then he plays the next six in the second quarter. Steph in, Oubre out. And then you can start to see maybe Oubre Jr. You know what? Second unit, go crazy. Look for Poole on the kick out and, you know, have some fun. Kelly, go do you.
I like that, and Dibs.
Okay, Steiny, I like it too. But you think this team is good enough without that being an option? Let's say we use Kelly the way Dibs just described it. They are going – come playoff time, even the play-in game, they're going to miss that just being an option is where I'm going. And when Steph sits and you're watching that clock, it's like, man, where's it coming from? Oubre out there with the new right. Jordan Poole? That would work. But that's the fact that it looks like he may not be back – That's a death blow to me.
Yeah, I don't think Oubre's going to be the difference between winning a series and losing a series. I just don't. And I could be proven wrong. I mean, there's no doubt Oubre periodically helps you win a game here and there. Yeah. But I just think in the playoffs, you got to have this team. The only way this team's going to shock the world to me is if they have on the floor guys who understand and appreciate the value of Steph Curry and how to maximize everything he does both with the ball and without the ball. And I'm sorry, Oubre and to a lesser degree Wiseman are too concerned with their own games, at least right now. Now, Wiseman, it's just because he's young and he's getting his footing. I'm not holding that against him. But Oubre's been in the league 5-6 years, and by and large, you know, he's the same player he's always been.
Right. Talented, but unable to really put together any stretch of excellence or a development over the course of his career. He's the same player now, basically, as he was when he came in the league. And that's where you start to be a little bit cautious. And he's looking for that bag alert, that major bag alert. So he's going to be more motivated when he's out there to out there and get his. Major bag alert.
Major bag alert.
Spadone loves it. I love watching Spadone get excited. One note about Wiggins' defense, Steiny.
Give it to us.
As we look at the real plus-minus stats from ESPN, he is 29th in our league on the defensive end, slightly behind KCP and slightly ahead of LeBron James and Harrison Barnes and others. So he's been a pretty stout defender when he's been on the floor, ranking higher, by the way, than the best defensive player of all time, who's not page one on the leaderboard in the defensive plus minus.
Who's that?
Draymond Green, Steiny.
Draymond Green is not
Day-day.
In the top 30 Wait, so according to that, Wiggins is a better defender than Draymond Green.
Yes, this is defensive real plus minus. Your top three.
You're the number guy, Steiny.
And by real, you mean fake.
Oh, wow.
Wiggins is not a better defender than Draymond Green.
Reading you the numbers. He's just giving you the numbers. Right. Numbers do lie then, huh?
Of course they do.
Shout out to Mel Hill, Michael
Smith. Of course they do. Yeah. That's why Oubre's not very good despite whatever the hell he's averaging.
I can't just quit looking at these. Oh, go ahead, Stoddy. I was going to say, I'm fixated on these standings.
I'm fixated on a stat that has Draymond Green as a worse defender than Wiggins. That's all. But we can go back to the standings.
How many times have we done a show 10-2 where you were like, ooh, Wiggins quietly, his defense
quietly,
is up there.
Quietly. Okay. Let me just – who's a better defensive player, Wiggins or Draymond Green, Goo? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Boy, that's a great question.
It's not a great question. It's a no-brainer. It's a flat-out no-brainer. Please.
Okay, when Jason Tatum went off that Saturday night, where was both of these players that we talk about defensively? Nowhere to be found. And when you talk about the best defender of all time, I got standards, Dibs. I want to see that shutdown game. And last night he did a great job against Baby Shaq, you know, putting his body out there. But, you know, Baby Shaq had 32 points. I might be lean towards Wiggins, Steiny. I don't.
Are you serious?
I mean, man.
Wiggins, you think Wiggins is a better defender than Draymond Green?
At this stage in his career, I don't think that's ludicrous.
Gosh. I think it is. Roll out, by the way. I think you may as well roll out after that statement. Wow.
He making all defense NBA first team, Sonny?
Of course not. He won't even get a vote.
Okay.
I'm just telling you the truth. He's not going to be a first team all defensive player.
Then how come this is so mind boggling then that I would lean towards Wiggins?
I don't. Because I've watched Draymond Green for 10 years, and I think he's one of the best defensive players I've ever seen. And I think this year he's pretty good.
Okay. Right.
And his 8 out of 10 is better than whatever Wiggins is. I mean, we'll talk about the standings because we're probably not going to get anywhere. Now that Wiggins is
I was just saying I've never rooted for the Nuggets like I did last night, Dan Dibley. That's because Nightmare on Warrior Street will be a one and done against the Lakers in that size, even if they're hampered. So the Lakers got a big win, and I don't like the Warriors right now if the season ended. I don't like Portland with the Warriors because Portland I think has found their footing, and I don't want that for a playing series or a game.
Well, you get
Portland.
You get the shot at two games minimum, and I think what we talked about right off the top is the Draymond Green effect. You figure Steph's going to have a good game, good 30 points or more, 35 points is more possible, depending on how many shots he has to take to get there. It's what can Draymond add with the assists and, as importantly, the scoring, because you lose a game by 6 and Draymond's got 4 points. Well, you could point to that. Draymond needs to get into double figures and be around 8, 9, 10 assists, 8, 9, 10 rebounds. When that happens, you win games. And even if Oubre Jr. is not available, depending on what bench contributions you get or not, it's Steph, an active Draymond, and then Wiggins giving you 18. You can win a one-off game.
I think they got to stay at 7. Get to 7 or 8. I think there's a huge difference. And my prediction is going to be that 7 and 8, whoever finishes 7 and 8 will actually be 7 and 8 because they do have two cracks at it. And they're going to be, for the most part, a better team because they had a better record. So, I'll take my chances against Portland if I'm Golden State. It feels like Golden State's just always had their number over the years. I get it. Clay
they
was
got
a
some
big
size.
Part of that.
Yeah, Nurkic and Cantor, Steiny.
Yeah, and over the years, Draymond just kind of gobbles those guys up. But hey, they're in good shape. I don't think six is certainly a long, long, long shot right now. But 7 or 8 is looking absolutely gettable, and the reason I think they're going to do it is because they've clearly set that as a goal. Steve Kerr basically said it. We want 7 or 8 to get 2 cracks at it. And I think that's where they're headed, to tell you the truth. All right, here's what we got coming up, and we got a great show coming up today. We've got last night in our league on the other side, Bob Fitzgerald coming on at 11:48. He's the voice of the Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. And then also, Jimmy Garoppolo, if you're worried about Jimmy's feelings, don't be. And I'll tell you why. And it's all sponsored by MB Jesse Painting. Are you in need of quality painting? MB Jesse Painting offers the most trusted painting services in the Bay Area. Their experts have been helping the Bay for 25 years. Visit mbjesse.com for a free quote today. That's MB Jesse Painting. Spadoni, are you serious with that BS?
Let the hate flow through you.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Your hate has made you powerful.
That's good editing. That's the Emperor.
Man.
Yeah, that's Darth Vader, bad guy. That's his mentor, the Emperor, who turned him to the dark side. It's just great use of the Steiny. I could be rejoining
serious
the right
with
there.
That BS.
Use your aggressive feelings.
It's the Emperor.
So, and this is the big day because of the phrase "May the Force be with you." And
correct.
There you go.
Done the old clever thing of May the Fourth.
Okay. Yeah. It's not
when Star Wars came out for the first time or anything like that.
No, but it's a good time to step back and appreciate the vehicle that keeps on giving. 44 years later, 1977, this plucky little sci-fi film
Wow.
that's become generations of entertainment. I mean, my kid, who's born in 2003, you know, they go back and they've seen all the original movies, and now there's the various cartoons, Lego Star Wars. I mean, there's so much out there. It's phenomenal.
It is.
I want to issue a spoiler warning, by the way.
Oh.
A lot of Star Wars spoilers coming out today, if you have not seen them.
Gotcha.
In the past 44 years.
Sorry about that, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No! I'm looking forward to seeing that. When's it coming out, did you say?
It did come out 44 years ago. 44 years ago. Hank Aaron.
I love the young people.
Yeah, the day I proposed to my wife, Steiny, I told her I almost didn't because she didn't watch Star Wars growing up. What type
wow.
of life did you have? I don't want that for my kids.
I mean,
how does that happen? It's a staple of American life. Star Wars and popcorn. Come on now.
Atta baby, Mia. I like it. By the way, that reminds me of, you ever see the movie Diner?
Yeah.
It's about a group of young guys living in Baltimore back in the day, and one guy's getting married, but he won't marry the woman until she passes a Baltimore sports trivia quiz. And
I haven't seen it. I like it already, though.
It's a trap. It's kind of funny. So.
Yeah, Barry Levinson, the great director.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of stuff happening in the NBA, and a lot of it affects the Golden State Warriors. So let's take a look around last night in our league.
Yeah, 4 games with big-time playoff ramifications, gentlemen, including Steiny's favorites, which lead us off in the headline, the Hawks bewilder the Blazers.
Trey lobs it. Capella slams it. Hawks come right back to score.
That's from Bally Sports Southeast. Damian Lillard 33, but Portland tumbles to 7th with the loss. Goo?
Yeah, no shame losing to the Hawks on the road, but that's a team I'm watching, Steiny. I just don't want the Warriors hooking up with them. Dame can offset Steph. Then you got CJ on a good day, and I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, a pretty good, great trip, in fact, for the Portland Trail Blazers. They beat Indiana, the Grizzlies, the Nets, and the Celtics on the road. Just ran out of gas last night on a back-to-back. I think Portland Portland was going to finish ahead of the Warriors. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Yep, three games up on Golden State right now. Atlanta, by the way, Steiny, half a game ahead of Miami, currently sitting in the five spot. Game number two, the headline, the Knicks gobble the Grizzlies.
They had an easy time with Houston last night. Rose, head fake, hangs and hits. Derrick Rose got in the paint. 23 for Derrick Rose.
Bally Sports Southeast, good to hear Derrick Rose getting loose again. And Goo, are we talking about COY for the head coach and possibly MIP for the star player?
Yes, MVP. No, MIP and MVP. He'll get some votes talking about Julius Randle. But the Knicks are a story, guys. And I don't know about Memphis. They lost two in a row, Steiny. I know when I bet on them, they win. But I'm kind of watching these last six or seven games.
Yeah, I mean, Dibs, and I'm not saying he deserves it, but when people talk about Steph Curry as an MVP candidate, I mean, I'll make a prediction right now that Julius Randle finishes higher in the MVP voting than Curry, simply because the Knicks are four right now in the East. I mean,
four.
What a year they've had.
Yeah, incredible. And you got to think about Thibodeau for Coach of the Year. I know, Goo, you're a big proponent of that candidacy, and the better they play, the more likely that becomes. Game number three, gentlemen, the headline, Jazz shackle the Spurs.
Another quick hands of Royce, run it up. Young man flushes it with two hands.
Oh, nothing like a good old-fashioned shackle. Bally Sports Southeast with the call. You look at, actually, that was AT&T Sportsnet, rather, Goo. The Jazz continue playing well. The Spurs looking vulnerable as they could get knocked off by the Pelicans.
Yeah, no doubt. 2.5 up right now, but they're hemorrhaging. Again, Steiny, that Derrick White injury nobody's talking about, but that hurt the Spurs. I'm not saying they would have won last night's game, but they better finish strong, because I think the NBA, along with myself, would want to see Zion in the playing game opposed to the Spurs, who play a good brand of basketball, but give me Zion.
Yeah, no interest in Zion, to tell you the truth. but I got to shout out one, and he'll be our guest later, Dibs, Bobby Fitzgerald, who last week said San Antonio's going to finish 10th. Have you seen their schedule? And I said no, and he was right. The Spurs are in the middle of a real brutal stretch right now.
Don't kid yourself. Matt Simons is a quality basketball player.
Yeah, Spurs have dropped four in a row, and as we mentioned, they played 37 games in the conference, and they're not looking very strong against Western teams. Well, gentlemen, one more game with Western significance, and the headline is the Lakers nip the Nuggets.
He looked to give it back to Rivers, now dribbles it out. Campazzo from downtown. Davis, miraculously, with a closeout that never seemed to end. Wow!
From ESPN, Anthony Davis with 25. LeBron James with looking at, oh, Goo, LeBron didn't play and the Lakers won.
Yeah, they wasn't even on the bench. I don't know what the hell happened, though. Was that the Game 7 final, Steiny? Streamers came down after the Lakers won that game. But I got to tell you, the NBA needs to get their officials fixed. Michael Porter Jr. hit a three-pointer, and they call an offensive foul. Was it Campazzo, whatever his name is? It totally changed the game, and Denver was done in. But a big win for the Lakers. And I'm going to say this, Gasol needs to be on the floor for the Lakers more than Drummond.
And, of course, Dibs, I always use an opportunity like this to tell our listeners that NBA officials the best in any of the professional sports. I think that's obvious.
That's interesting. And I wonder if people, well, callers would be more like to talk about the worst of the three.
Exactly.
But, man, that's a good question. I think baseball would be the easiest. You got three guys basically standing around with their hands in their pockets. One guy doing all the work.
Football is blind.
Yeah, football is brutal. Sorry, and, you know, you don't know about football is all eight officials have eight different responsibilities. And basketball, it's the same, but with the players constantly moving in and out of your area and so many principles of verticality, basketball is the toughest. And I would agree with you, Steiny, that the NBA officials – I'd rank them the best. Baseball, I mean, it's until you do it, you don't know how hard it is. We all see that magic square on TV. It's like, how could you call that a strike? It's 96 with movement coming directly at you. And I know these guys have been doing it for decades, but calling balls and strikes is not easy.
It's not, Dibs, but you know what is easy? Is being like the right field umpire in a postseason game.
Totally.
You're just chilling out, you know, halfway between third and the left field wall. And maybe once a game you're going to have to say, foul ball. And then even if the, you know, and then what? If it's it kicks up chalk, anybody can see kick up chalk for fair.
Yeah, ask the left field umpire who presided over that Marlins-Cubs playoff game famously. And there was a lazy fly ball to left and Moises Alou camped underneath it. And some overeager fan may or may not have obstructed. All of a sudden that job got a little tougher that day. Steve Bartman.
Dibs, did you notice that when Spadoni played that, don't kid yourself, Matt Steinmetz is a good basketball player. Guru, under his breath, I don't know if you heard it, said, I hate that one. And he wonders why I laugh when he loses bets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I missed that. I was over on the Google Doc trying to hit my headlines. Also toggling to ESPN because I realized I didn't finish my scripts, and so it was a bit ad-libbing, but... That surprises me that Guru would root against you like that.
No, listen, it's not personal. Real quick, I played in the Chris Haynes Invitational, and I played in the Warriors World Tournament, and I talked a big game about my game, and the ultimate prize was getting something said about my game like that. And, of course, I didn't, and all I had was the air ball.
Daryl, the Guru so Johnson with the air ball.
It was the end of the quarter, a little heave.
You know, one thing we could do, Goo, is I could get Kyle to try to bring on guests, maybe some coaches who coached against me in my day, or some of my old teammates or some of my old competitors. We could do that. So, you know, I could kind of show you.
Chris Broussard.
You know this, Matt, because you're a good guard and you're a high-level player.
High-level,
what's
baby.
Going
Division
on,
three.
Bob? Yeah.
Division
Bobby
three.
Fitz at 11:48. Wow. I'd imagine there'll be some retracting going on.
Yeah, whoa. I'm a little jealous.
Here's the thing. I don't think Fitz ever saw me play basketball.
He had to, Steiny.
Matt knows because he covered a team for years.
So much.
That a baby Spadoni. Yeah, I'm starting to get it. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a Dibs romance. That's a Fitz and Steiny Dibs.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He likes you more than anybody. He came out and said that.
Facts.
Right?
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. You know, the one thing Draymond Green said last night, and I'd love to go to it, which it is the can we go listen to what Draymond Green said about the advantage of having Steph Curry in a play-in tourney game?
You know, anytime you step on the floor with Steph Curry, there's an advantage there. You know, so, you know, teams are terrified of him. You know, and everywhere he runs on the floor, you know, with or without the ball, teams are terrified. And, you know, with that type of gravity, you know, he pulled a lot of weight, you know, and you know, even when he's not the one, I could be the one making the pass, but it's him creating for other guys, you know, and that's very important, you know, with the way he's playing, you know, for another 41-point night, you know, very tough to stop. And, you know, as I said before, I wouldn't want to see a team with Steph Curry on there. We all know what he's capable of. You know, a guy can take over a game and make it hard for any team in the NBA, you know, on any given night. So, you know, we just got to continue to try to get better. Everybody continue to chip in and do what they're doing. Andrew Wiggins had a huge game today. You know, he stepped up to the challenge defensively against B.I., and he also brought it offensively. So we had a lot of guys step up tonight. And like I said earlier, we got to, you know, come back and do it again tomorrow.
All right, that was Draymond Green. Let me get this out of the way, and I'll follow up. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. And this segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. I agree with Draymond to an extent. I think a team would be terrified of Steph Curry in a play-in game. I'm not so sure about that in a seven-game series, because that's where it's going to be really hard for Steph Curry to have to do it game after game after game, when the defense will just be starting to hone in more and more and more. But I definitely agree with Draymond that I don't want to be in an elimination game against the Warriors in that play-in. I'll meet him halfway there for sure, Dibs.
Yes, and I think part of that is the nature of how these series get scheduled, because in the beginning you might have a game Sunday And then you might not have a game until Wednesday in the early part of the early rounds. Well, you get down to game six and seven, game five, six and seven, it's every other day. So at that point, the fatigue of a series and the adrenaline of maybe being up 2-1 on in a 1-8 matchup. Hey, you know, if we can win this game, maybe you're up 3-1, and now you got to travel to the top seed, and now you're playing every other day with travel, two of the three games on the road in a series tied at 2 apiece, let's say. It gets tougher as the underdog to prevail. And that's why I love the old five-game series. You remember when Denver knocked off Sean Kemp and the Rainmaker? That was in five. And, you know, Dikembe Mutombo cradling the ball. Those upsets become more possible in a short series than they do in a seven-gamer.
No doubt. And I'll say this. What Dre said was profound.